There we go.
Okay. So I would like to call the April 7th meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order and ask if the clerk would kindly call the roll.
Manager Joe Green.
Present.
Gina Hansett. Is here. I know I saw her. Yeah, there he is. Phil Erner is not with us tonight, I believe. Hang on one moment while I let Eric in. Joseph Maloney.
Present.
And Eric Stewart is getting connected to his audio. Eric, I'm calling roll.
Well, that's good timing. I'll be right there.
All right, very good.
Why is my camera not
working? We'll count him present.
All righty, thanks.
Okay, so Eric is present. We have a quorum. And would someone like to volunteer to say the Pledge of Allegiance? Can I get a volunteer for that?
Sure, I'll do it.
Great, thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And have folks had a chance to look at the minutes of the previous meeting, the March 5th meeting? Okay, I see Gina is nodding. Legislator Hansett, can I get a motion to approve? Well, let me just ask, is there any discussion on the previous minutes? Okay, I will seek a motion to approve the minutes. Okay, Gina and a second. Legislator Stewart, Legislator Hansett. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and saying aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And let's see, I did get a note that Tim DeGraff might not be able to be present, and I think I did see Charlie Landy.
Yes, Charlie's yes. With us.
Charlie, would you like to give a quick update from the UCRRA? I think you're still on mute, or we're not hearing you.
Charlie, do you hear us?
It looks like he's looking to unmute.
Don't believe he's muted.
Do you guys see Charlie? I don't see him.
Yeah, I see him. I don't think he can hear us, though.
He's not responding to us.
He's not on my screen. It's on.
Why don't we go to the Department of Environment and then see if we can circle back to the UCRRA. And I see Nick is here. Welcome, Nick. Do you have an update you'd like to share with us, please?
Thank you. Good evening. One quick update to bring attention to a memo that we submitted from the Department of the Environment to the committee earlier this week that details some of the results from the first year of the Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act implementation. I'm happy to answer questions about that anytime. There are a couple of caveats that go along with the report. One is that this report covers the calendar year of 2021, when we were still forming some of the implementation regulations around the law. and also determining staffing for education and outreach from this department. So there's a little bit of a learning curve there. And then we're using a tool from an organization called the Pollution Prevention Institute in Rochester called the Organics Resource Locator to identify those entities that are regulated by the law. And during the course of this regulation year, there had been some changes to that data set that impacted who was covered under the law. So we have a better footing for the regulation year of 2022, but these are some numbers for 2021 that will give a feel for what's happening with the law.
If I could ask, is there any resistance, or are people generally understanding, feel prepared, and are participating?
Of those that we did outreach to in starting in the fall of last year for this current year of regulation, there were some questions around, and we did receive some requests for waivers or for exemptions from the law, some of which we did grant. Those were primarily based on business model type, where we had estimated using this pollution prevention tool that a business did produce food waste, but their business model was such that they didn't maintain any food inventory or didn't have any waste that was produced because of the way that they manage their inventory. So, but as far as no major negative feedback, I suppose, from the businesses that we reached out to.
Great. And for those of you who weren't on the legislature, I just want to say that it was at least a year, maybe a year and a half, that we did a very iterative process to try to pass legislation that would be acceptable, that people would participate in, that wouldn't have serious negative effects. And we also already had many good examples in the county of businesses that were large food waste generators that were composting, some composting on site, and others using a hauler who took it to a processing facility. And one thing I'd like all of us to be aware of and help with, and this comes from a suggestion by legislator Litz, is that one of the things that people can do with their food waste is send it as animal feed. And we have a lot of local farmers. We can work with Cornell or Soil and Water to help promote that. But I just want to mention it because I think it's a really good idea. And it probably won't affect that many businesses. And most of them will send it to a hauler who will send it to a composting facility. And we have at least 4 active processing facilities in the county. So I think it's a good program. And I think it also shows that it's very valuable to have a stakeholder inclusive process. And I mention that because one of the other things that Department of Environment is working on is that there was money set aside in the capital improvement plan earmarked. We haven't actually acted on it, but for a reuse innovation center. And I think if we use a similar process, in this case, we're looking to hire a firm that will coordinate a feasibility study. But I think if we make sure that all the stakeholders are included as we develop that facility, it will end up being successful rather than somebody sitting in an ivory tower somewhere and calling the shots. I think that process is really important. Anything else, Nick, before We move on.
Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for the really great work you and your team are doing. It's greatly appreciated. And Charlie Landy, are you able to, and you do not have to give a report, but I want to make sure there's an opportunity for you to, if you want to share anything.
Nana, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Yes, I can give you a report. As a matter of fact, I am prepared to give you a report.
Great.
You tell me when you're ready.
We're ready.
Okay. Recently, within the last couple of weeks, we completed our annual comprehensive financial report for the years ended December 31, 2021, and 2020. The report is phenomenal. We did a phenomenal job with this, and it's readily available on our website for anyone who wants to really find out what's going on in the agency, because it's all right here. I isolated a couple of paragraphs that I'll quote right now. It's 75 pages, so clearly I'm not going to be able to go through the whole thing. But on page 66, revenues by source, this is a very interesting study. MSW C&D tipping fees amounted to $15,583 and $275. Sludge tipping fees amounted to $342,532. Sale of recyclables amounted to $934,639. Compost tipping fee sales amounted to $154,321. These are interesting numbers because they compare favorably with the rest of the from 2012 to 2020. Clearly, we're on the move upward, and it seems to be working out very well. But I want to add a couple of comments that were made by the auditors about what their study. And you'll be interested in this. Okay, quickly, awards and acknowledgments. This was after the auditors did the report. The preparation of this report would not have been possible without the skill, effort, and dedication of the entire staff of the agency and the enthusiastic support of the board of directors. We wish to thank all of those involved in providing the necessary data to prepare this report. The quality and timely preparation of the ACFR was also made possible by the dedicated services of Teal, Becker, and Chiaramonte CPAs Professional Corporation, the agency's independent auditors. That's who this was done by. But clearly, if you're interested, you should avail yourself of this report, because it's inclusive and it tells what everybody out there, right from the top of the board to the laborer on the recycling line, really did a phenomenal effort of putting this report together. And I would highly recommend that anybody interested should go on the website and grab it. That's all I really have, unless you want me to go further into the report manner, but I can, if that's what you want.
Well, I think that's appropriate. I'm sorry about the coughing. I don't think it's COVID, but some little tickle that won't go away. I think, you know, we're fine with that unless anybody has any questions. And thank you for calling that to our attention. I know that a few of us definitely will go on and read that report.
Nana, not to interrupt you, but I was part of the study as the auditors were going through the books and everything. And I thought, you know, this is going to be very good as far as getting the word out as to what the agency is really doing. And I was impressed with it after I saw it done. And Timothy DeGraff, who is our controller, a director executive, did a phenomenal job of helping put this report together. I can't say enough about it, but I'll rest my case unless you want me to continue.
Thank you. And I know that the folks that have been working on the zero waste implementation plan will be very interested in that. And I'm sure Department of Environment, because ultimately, if we're going to maximize our waste diversion, we all need to work together and understand how the pieces fit together. Any questions or comments? Yes, Legislator Maloney, please.
I'd just like to make a quick comment. One, I appreciate you, Mr. Landy, always being here. Every meeting I'm on, whether it's the Recycling Oversight Committee or Energy and Environment, you seem to be there, ready to answer any questions. I will be printing that report out, and I will be going through it. Thank you for letting us know. I would like to make the point that the executive director and the controller, who I think makes about $150,000 a year, I hardly ever see him. I used to see Tim Rose a lot more. And, you know, we're all here for the people. And I'm a first guy there, last guy to leave kind of person. And I like to see that. I see that from many people in government and in charge of these public beneficiary corporations. But I don't see that from the executive director, who wears two hats, also as the controller, and makes a very good salary. Whether or not he's invited, and sometimes I think he's invited and hasn't been here, I think he should probably try to be at all these meetings. I mean, I really am a little disappointed that I don't see more of him. But on the flip side of that, Mr. Landy, I appreciate you as a volunteer appointee that's always here. But I really wanted to make that point because it's been starting to get to me after a couple of months.
Joe, I understand what you're saying, but let me assure you that Tim DeGraff is really doing the job. As a matter of fact, I am the treasurer of the board, and I have to co-sign all of his checks. And this morning at Uptown Coffee on Wall Street in Kingston, we met, and he had a pack of checks this thick that we had to sign and talk about. But let me assure you that he is putting a phenomenal effort into this. And if we are successful financially, and if we are successful with our audit, for the most part, it's because he's the CPA of the operation, okay? And he really puts the time in. Joe, and I understand where you're coming from.
I appreciate your support of him, but I still feel comfortable with my statement, and I think he ought to do a little bit better job of trying to get to these meetings and communicating and being there to answer questions let us know. Most of the time, I'm seeing the plant operator as well that comes in here and is always here to answer questions. Not the top dog. I'm just a little disappointed. That's not the approach I'd like to see from our executive director.
Well, Joe, let me tell you that I would like to help you eliminate that disappointment, because I will talk to him about it and have him reach out to you. I think I understand where you're coming from. You're interested in the agency.
No, this is not about a personal contact with me. This is about these very important committees that I think, you know, I would like to see him showing up like so many other people do. Nick's here as the head of the environment, you know, all the time. You know, the head of the RRA, I feel like, should put a little more value in being here. Also, the public sees these meetings as well. I just wanted to say I'm a little disappointed I don't see more of them.
Okay, Joe, just one final remark. When Tim Rose resigned and we convinced Tim DeGraff to take the position, he indicated that he was worried about losing the stability of his CPA position with the agency. And we wrote into our agreement with him that if any time he wanted to step back to his CPA position, he could do that. And he has not done that so far. He's still working as CPA / executive director and doing, in my mind, a phenomenal job with it. But let me just add this last point. I don't want to begrudge the subject. When Tim Rose resigned, and we did what we did with Tim DeGraff and Charlie Whitaker, We saved the agency $80,000. I'm the treasurer of the board, and I can tell you I counted it. Okay, we did that. And Tim DeGraff signed on to doing it and said that if any point in time he was feeling uncomfortable with it, and we assured him that if he needed to hire people, hire and coach them through whatever jobs he had to do, he could do that. He hasn't done that. He has continued to run the CPA end of it and the operations end of it in conjunction with Charlie Whitaker, who also does a phenomenal job. Let me just assure you one thing, Joe. This report, it wouldn't be as positive as it is if it wasn't for the people who are running the operation. That's all I have to say, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks for your time, Joe.
And I see Legislator Stewart, and then before Legislator Stewart, I do want to say that for tonight, Tim said that he was going to try to get here that he might be late. But he has been to some meetings, but not all. And Charlie Landy will bring that comment back. Legislator Stewart, and then let's move on.
Thank you.
You accidentally put yourself on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, she was talking to me. I'm the one having the issue. Charlie, I just wanted to ask you how things are going with the new appointees to the board, and just, you know, was just curious how you felt, you know, things are adjusting to their, you know, membership.
Adjusting. It takes a little bit of time. I'm a little bit concerned that the webinar that the authority budget office presents to new board members is not done before they're voting. And we're going to modify our rules of order so that new board members coming on can't vote until they take the webinar. The webinar is a study that's presented online by the authority budget office. And it's very inclusive as to what you can do and what you can't do. I took it, I'm going back now to 2012. I'm the oldest board member on the board, right? And that scares me, right? But anyway, I want to make a connection between the webinar that's being done by the New York State Legislative Authority budget and new appointments coming on before they vote. They should know what they're voting on, okay? And that didn't happen. I was a little bit disappointed in that. I don't have any, there's no regrets as far as what they did. They were trying to do the right thing, but as we look back at it, they might not have voted the way they voted. But that's okay. It's something we can correct. Eric, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Landy.
Okay, at this point, I think we're ready to take public comment and then move into the,
Did you want to let Emily Hauser speak for the-
Yeah, I just realized that.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. Emily, please, is there any news from the Environmental Management Council?
Sure. Thank you for your time today. I'm the vice chair of the AMC, and we meet on the fifth day, Wednesday of the month, and we usually have a presentations. And this week, last month, it was the UCRRA, and Angelina Rent gave a really nice informative presentation on the composting to our members. And we also heard from Scenic Hudson and Riverkeeper, and they are interested in my ask for you today. Phil Erner attended our meeting, and he And he suggested that we ask, we kind of bring this ask to you, and that is that Senator Tonko is, there, I'm sorry, you lost me. Okay. H.R. 4677 is the New York, New Jersey Watershed Protection Act, and Tonko is spearheading this, and it basically would bring funds to the Hudson, the New York, New Jersey watershed, which would include everything from the Adirondacks to the Mohawk all the way down, including the watersheds of New Jersey that go into the harbor. And they would provide funding, that this grant would provide funding of $550 million annually for until 2026, so 4 or 5 years. And it would be led by inside the Department of the Interior in Fish and Wildlife. And so they are asking municipalities to support this, and I will follow up after the meeting with anyone who wants to take that on, if you want to take that resolution on through the legislature.
I think we could do a memorializing resolution, but it might be faster to do a sign-on letter. And if you could work with Fawn and Vicki, is anybody here willing to sponsor it just to move that along? I can, but I want to just be careful because they work for Clearwater.
Yeah. They didn't provide us with a sign-on letter. They provided us with a sample resolution. Okay. So. But the EMC wrote a letter that we were going to send in ourselves. So I have that wording. So what do you think I should do?
Please share that with Fawn and Vicki. And I saw Legislator Stewart raise his hand. So
okay.
I was going to say I'd be happy to sponsor that, or you know, however we choose to proceed.
Okay. There's no rush, so that's why I didn't send it beforehand, because they're looking for like through June to get these letters. So in that sense, it's not a great rush. It can happen during the next month. All right. So I'll follow up on that. Thank you.
Great.
And
thank you,
Emily.
And
then I just want to say you're welcome. And then a shout out to Eric for being a former EMC member. And I just want to say that the EMC continues to work on lots of great programs, including community preservation, looking specifically at development projects, putting in EV, and doing a lot of natural resources and climate smart activities. Those are the members of the municipalities. Not the EMC itself, but every town is doing many good things. Thank you.
And if I could, I just wanted to follow up on what Emily says. The EMC does great work, and I'm hoping to attend the next meeting. And I know I said that last time, but I'm going to get in trouble with Dave if I don't actually show up. So, I'm trying to get representation from Marbletown. Permanent representation from Marbletown. So,
and then the next meeting is in person, and we're going to hear from students from Bard that are working on some climate projects.
Nice.
And thank you.
Will it also be virtual or live streamed or recorded in some way?
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
Yes, it'll be on Zoom as well.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Yes. Nick is here. Thank you.
And also if we can get that Zoom information, I think some of us would really like to see that presentation. And I think students are also presenting to the Climate Smart Committee at some point as well. So.
Oh, okay. Yes. And this, by the way, is April 27th. And Bard College students on climate adaptation. And that is at the beginning of the meeting if you don't want to stay for the whole thing. And we thought that I was under the impression that you received our agendas so that you knew. I know you get lots of emails so and lots of agendas. But anyway, the last Wednesday of the month.
It's always good to call it to our attention, raising.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. The meetings do show up on our calendar, so which we get from Fawn's office. So, yeah.
Somebody needs to maybe put their mute button on. I just want to get a sense of the committee. Do we want to go with a municipal resolution or a letter since there's no rush, a memorializing resolution or a letter? Does anybody have a sense of that?
I'd like to see what was.
I'm sorry?
They have something for us, right, to look at?
They have two different things.
I'd like to look at them and then I have an opinion on which way to go.
Okay, great. So we'll get those.
And I agree with Joe on that. So thank you.
Great. Okay. Onward. Let us hear from anyone. Fawn, do you have a list of the people that want to make comment? Oh, you're on mute.
I'm sorry, Chairwoman. I do not. I didn't know anything about people making comment.
Nate and Molly are on the ARPA team. So my guess would be it's Matt Colangelo and Ellen DeFalco.
Okay.
We have four people coming in now.
I see Matt's hand is up. And Matt, if you would tell us what resolution you're addressing, and please keep your comments brief because we do have a bit of an agenda to get through.
It'll be brief. I appreciate the opportunity. This is in response to resolution number 167, adopting a negative declaration for the demolition of the former Ulster County Jail. I just want to thank Legislator Maloney for giving us the opportunity to inform us of this resolution. The reason what I'm asking the committee to do is to really evaluate what's being requested here, in particular, the impacts with respect to the environment regarding the removal of the debris. We've been following this project. I'm a stakeholder in the area. I have not received any information regarding the county's plan or how they're going to remove the debris. We've asked several times. We haven't been given that plan. I don't know if it's been given to the committee. And the reason why I'm emphasizing this has to do with the traffic engineer's report highlighting a severe deficiency with the Route 32 and Golden Hill Drive egress and ingress. So if construction debris that are going to be full of, demolition material are going to be exiting left onto Route 32, that could be a very dangerous situation. So I'm not sure or if anybody in the committee is aware of what route or what routes the construction vehicles will be taking. If you're not aware of that, I would ask that you table this resolution and request that the planning department update the committee so that you do make an informed decision. That's kind of what I hope you guys are willing to do. And if you do have that information about the route, if you could share that, that would be great.
Thank you. The next person. Have we determined who the next person might be?
Ellen DeFalco.
Yes.
If folks can put their hand up, it'll make it easier.
Ellen was on the phone, so I'm not sure. She just muted herself. If she wanted to speak, I can just go around and
go on.
Yes, now we can hear you. Ellen, did you wish to comment?
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Chairman Manageau, for allowing us to speak briefly. We just this afternoon actually learned that the Resolution 167 was on your agenda for this evening. So I'm briefly going to make a couple comments regarding the need to have the ARPA funds earmarked for the demolition of the former jail. When the original RFQ was prepared in 2020, I believe, the developer was going to be responsible for the demolition before moving forward with this project. In addition, prior to 2020, the county DPW for years had this on their capital plan list, and it was never done to make this property shovel ready. I'm not sure whether the asbestos abatement was completed. There might be reports attached to the original RFQ regarding that, and the sale of this property has not been finalized to date. And I also am questioning the fact that the environmental review forms state that there are endangered species or threatened species on this property, and blasting rock removal will have restrictions, and there'll be certain times of day that you won't be able to remove debris. And the final thing that I wanted to mention was that the taxpayers in years back, 1967, paid millions to actually have this jail built. And I was wondering if there was a plan at some point to recycle any of the building materials, particularly the bricks. There might be some nonprofit groups, youth build perhaps might have a need for them. And that would be a wonderful way to pass along some of the materials. And I guess at this point, that's pretty much all I have to comment about. And I do appreciate your time and for listening. Thank you.
You're welcome. And usually when we do public comment, the legislature doesn't interact. We just take the comment.
I understand that, yes.
But I'm going to make an exception because Deputy Ryder will recall that when this came up in, I think it was the committee chair's meeting, I did suggest looking into a process of, instead of just demolition, actually deconstruction. That's part of Zero Waste, and I promised to get them information. So you're not the only one thinking in that direction. And are there others who can indicate that they would like to offer comment before we move on? Okay. And I see that Tim DeGraff has joined us, and welcome. And Tim, I actually apologize because you had asked me if you could speak later in the meeting. And I just went into kind of automatic mode and went down the agenda. Charlie did give a report where he shared the audit and invited us to look at the audit report. And I just want to give you a minute if there's anything else you would like to add.
Yeah, no, that's great. That was one of the items I was going to bring up. I had sent you and Fawn the link. So if you wanted to forward that along to any other committee members, but it also can be found on our website, the About Us heading. If you click on that and then click Authorities Budget Office, you can find all of our financial reports. And the big one is the annual comprehensive financial report, and there's loads of information in there. I'm pretty proud of it. So I'm glad Charlie brought that up. There was some stuff that that Angie wanted me to pass along, and most of this can be found under our events tab on our website as well. Our compost bagging operation, the board set a price on that at our last board meeting. We actually have some training that's going to happen on April 20th, I believe that's set up. And so we're hoping to get that going maybe within the next month here or so. I'm not sure if we're going to do some type of an online order like we're doing with the compost bin and rain barrel sale, which is going to happen May 7th. Or if we'll just set up a booth and take credit cards or something like that yet. We haven't worked out those details, but we're starting that process. The residential e-waste program is back up and running. That's every Saturday from 8 to 2, and that'll run through November. And that's across from the agency's main office, so you don't actually have to go down to the facility. Our HHW event, the first one's going to be at New Paltz, and that's open for registration for any Ulster County resident. And the first one will be April 30th at our New Paltz facility. The other three are scheduled for June 26th in Kingston, August 20th at New Paltz, and October 23rd at Kingston. Angie is doing a movie screening for its free admission at the Orpheum in Saugerties, the movie theater. I think that's Main Street in Saugerties. And they're going to be showing the documentary Just Eat It, a food waste story. And that'll be May 1st from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And there's going to be a Q&A session on that as well. What else? Angie also sent me along an email that I wanted to read. Directly from her. April's always a busy time for educational programs and tours. The recycling outreach team is currently working with some college students at SUNY Ulster on a new video project at UCRA. They're putting the final touches on our new home composting demonstration garden, which is across from the main office. They're hoping to launch that by Earth Day. Angie and Tanisha, our new recycling educator, are collaborating on a number of community educational events with organizations like Habitat for Humanity, the Kingston Public Library, Ellenville Central School District, the Mount Academy of Esopus, the Junior Girl Scouts Troops of Gardner, the Town of Platicville Climate Smart Committee, and many others all this month. As I mentioned, our spring compost bin and rain barrel sale is happening. Now you can place your orders through our website. Residents can sign up to pre-order compost bins and rain barrels and pick them up at our one-day bin distribution event. Any questions with that type of stuff, I encourage you to reach out to Angie. We'll be celebrating International Compost Awareness Week. We have a slew of other events and campaigns happening around International Compost Awareness Week. So check our website for events and classes. And then the last item, there was the Organic Summit up in Albany, which Angie and Charlie Whitaker attended. Angie was actually a presenter on a panel. She was invited to speak at New York State Organic Summit in Albany this year. This annual event is an opportunity to connect with over 150 materials management professionals from across the state and beyond, share success stories, and discuss creative solutions for the further development of the organics recycling industry in New York State. Angie was a panelist on a session called Source Separation and Its Impact on Product Quality, moderated by Nora Goldstein of BioCycle magazine. Angie reported that popular themes at the summit were updates on federal New York State composting laws, which continues to be a focus and goal for our county to further implement that law and see the benefits. That's all I got.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? I want to add one thing going back actually to the Department of Environment, and that is, We have appointed an administrative hearing officer, which the agency had been asking for. And I think we probably, I'm bringing this up because Deputy Ryder is here as well. I think we need one more meeting to get clarity on enforcement. Hopefully it'll never get to that point, but particularly around composting, but I think also around any of the laws, the agency has a compliance officer, but it hasn't been determined. It's really up to the county executive to determine enforcement. And I think that's still a loose end. So I think one more meeting and we can probably resolve that. So
okay, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would concur with that, Chair Green, that we still are looking at, you know, between health department and the agency. I know right now the Department of the Environment is doing a lot of the outreach and education pieces, but whether we would contract with the agency to do compliance or whether we would do it in-house at the Department of Health is still an open-ended question.
Good. As long as it's still on the table and we're aware, and again, I hope it never comes to that. And I think with the excellent outreach that Department of Environment is doing and the agency is doing, and the level of cooperation that we're getting, it's almost a moot point. But just in case it is needed, it's better to have it ahead of time. Okay. Thank you. That was very helpful. And particularly for the events coming up, if that's already in the report, then it's up to us to find them. But if it is not, if you could send them to Fawn to share, because it sounds like really good events coming up.
Yeah. I think it should have been in. Angie usually, I think, includes that stuff as part of her recycling update in her board packet that gets sent along.
Okay.
But I can just send you the link to our events tab as well so that you'll always have it, because that keeps getting updated. So.
Great. Thank you. I think we're finished with public comment and ready to dive into the resolutions. And there aren't that many, so I'm not going to take them out of order. We might as well just go right through. So resolution number 15, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 1 of 2022, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, chapter 131, vehicles, it's really the Green Fleet policy in relation to strategies and goals, and it's a public hearing to be held on Tuesday, May 17th at 7 p.m. Motion for discussion?
Make a motion.
Okay. Motion by Legislator Maloney, seconded by Legislator Stewart. Any comments? Yes, please, Legislator Maloney.
So this was something we had postponed in the past? And I think we postponed it for a couple of reasons. One, we had a bunch of questions about going green with nothing much that we're seeing about reducing the size of the fleet. And Phil felt as strongly as I did, if not stronger, that if you're really going green is just about as much about reducing the size of the fleet, which we've heard nothing about, as it is just going to electric vehicles. We have issues because we went and bought 3 buses that are very limited in what they can do. And now we're hearing, and it was kind of acknowledged, the new director of UCAT kind of acknowledged there are different ways you can go. And there was possibly other buses out there that wouldn't have been limited to the city of Kingston. We have the majority of vehicles in UCAT, the Sheriff's Department, and DPW, many of which, if not the majority of which, cannot go green. So we've kind of chosen this arbitrary number. We've talked about going from 20% to 30% without knowing what that's like. And I'll remind everyone, without having the all-important conversation of reducing. Well, I've seen no reports on reducing the size of the fleet. Who's got take-home cars? Do they actually need them? I mean, there's savings theirs as too. There may be people take, there's an economic question to be answered about gas cards and mileage as opposed to giving somebody a vehicle that they may not need a county vehicle, which would go into the reducing aspect of it. So I don't see where the two legislators that have sponsored this still haven't shown up to one of our meetings to answer any of these questions. So if we postponed it last month for all of these reasons and the fact that no one was here to answer these questions, I don't know why we wouldn't postpone it again.
Anyone else? Yes, please.
I just want to say that I agree with Legislator Maloney. I remember, and I have my old notes here in front of me, that we had a different number, and we, like you said, we just, there's just, the percentage went down, but not really sure where those numbers came from. And then I'm just curious, I don't recall the buses, did we buy them or were they a grant or were they through a different program? Can it, somebody answer?
We purchased the buses. They were part of the funding that we used to purchase them, we used through a lawsuit that I believe was Volvo. Amanda, maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that was the automaker, but that was just the funding source. There was no tie-in that we had to use that for the buses. We did purchase the three buses.
Okay, thank you. And like, I just wanted to say again, like the numbers and, you know, we went from, I think it was from 30 to 20, but I'm not really sure why or how we came up with those numbers. So I just, it looks like it was postponed, but really not much has changed in it. So I'm not really sure how we're going to go forward with it, but.
Yes, please.
I believe the current guidance is 10%, and the goal was to double it to 20. Nick, just either nod or tell me I'm wrong on that, but I think the current goal is 10%. This was raising it, doubling it to 20%, because we've already met the 10%. I mean, if it's the will of the committee to postpone it, I'm fine with that. I think we submitted this. 20% is a goal that we felt was doable, albeit it won't be easy. 30% I don't think is realistic. But to Legislator Maloney's point, I mean, I do think looking at reducing the overall size of the fleet is a worthy goal. I don't think you're going to get there by reducing things like take-home vehicles because there's just not that many. I mean, there's more probably in the sheriff's department than anywhere, so there might be an argument made there, but they're going to tell you that, you know, they need to be able to, when they're driving home, if they want to stop a crime, they should be able to stop a crime. But there's very few other take-home vehicles. We have mostly a pool fleet. People don't even, for the most part, have their own vehicles. There are some departments who have some set aside for them. But if like myself, if I wanted to go up to a conference, if I wasn't going to drive my car, I would request a pool vehicle and it would just be for that trip.
Chair, if I could just respond to that real quick.
Okay, please.
I'm a trust but verify kind of guy. I'm sure you're telling me the truth and you're doing everything you possibly can. And there's not one person in this county taking home a vehicle that doesn't need to. I mean, the executive is never driving around in a vehicle, right? I mean, but I don't know exactly what departments are. I have heard things from certain departments, rank and file, where they've gone, this, that, and that about take-home vehicles. So I bet you there's a couple we could reduce. But that being said, I mean, that's I didn't get voted in here to come up and say, hey, I'd like to take a look at this and have the deputy executive say, no, everything's fine. Believe me. And we go, OK, well, I did my due. That's not due diligence. So that's all I mean. And I don't see. And I was a little disappointed to see at least that in that report. I didn't go through it with a fine tooth comb, but I didn't see much in that Green Fleet report about even, hey, we've looked into this and here's our take home vehicles, da, 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 there's all the sheriffs, this is that policy on that, blah, blah, and we've done everything we possibly can to reduce the size. Phil, I know I've had lengthy conversations with him about it. He feels the exact same way I do. So I would like to look a little further into that. And maybe that's what comes out of this, because this is basically a memorializing resolution to ourselves where it's we're voting on this to set a goal. which is, you know, whatever that means. I mean, you guys are, you just said, Mark, that you're planning on getting to 20% anyways. And then this is just codifying that plan. So it's, maybe it'll lead to something real, which is a conversation. I mean, it sure led to me finding out that these buses that we bought are limited to the city of Kingston. I remember, you know, talking to a couple legislators that were so excited. They went to the press conference. They were taking pictures in front of it. And I remember telling one of them, you know, that's not really that big of a deal. They can only drive around the city of Kingston. This isn't really, you know, monumental. We're limited in what we can do. And then talking to some other people, I found out that there may have been other buses out there that were 100% electric that had the ability to go much further with much more power. They were more expensive. And that was a conversation we never had. So rather than legislators just taking the word of things, I think we need to dive deep and demand a little more once in a while. And this is one of those situations. And I'm not just going to vote something that's, to me, silly anyways, through without getting at least some answers.
All right. So we have two choices. One is we could move this forward. And remember, it is setting a public hearing. To me, it seems like it's a step in the right direction and it can be modified. Or we can postpone one more time and specifically invite the sponsors and ask for any missing information. So what is the consensus of the committee? Do we want to consider postponing or do we want to set the public hearing? Or at least vote about setting the public hearing. Legislator Stewart, please.
I was going to say, since it's just about setting a public hearing, I mean, I have no problems in proceeding. And as you said, I think it's a step in the right direction. I do think it would be important to have the sponsors of the resolution appear at the public hearing and be able to give a report.
They don't speak at the public hearing.
Oh, no. That's true. My apologies.
To have the sponsors come to our next meeting. Okay, please, Legislator Hansett.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right, that public hearing would be on Tuesday, May 17th, but we have a meeting prior to that, so maybe they could come and speak at our meeting.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you.
So.
No action or?
Our meeting in this committee's meeting in May precedes the public hearing.
Yes.
So in that case, it does make sense to postpone or to set the public hearing and ask them to come in May. All right.
Good with that.
Okay. And so can we just do a motion to postpone and request?
Or we could just not act and then ask them to come to the next meeting. It's okay. Kind of the same thing. Yeah, if it's against their will, if they say it's, what's that for?
I was going to say they probably wouldn't have the public. If you don't pass it, there won't be a public hearing on May 17th.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. So let's act on it. If people are in agreement, let's act on the resolution to set the public hearing and make the request. Because it's giving the public until May 17th, even though we're meeting again, it's giving the public an opportunity to weigh in on this. This is the resolution to set the public hearing, not the resolution to adopt.
That's correct. This will come back before you if the public hearing goes well, if you like what they tell you at your next meeting and they put in the resolution to adopt it. That would be a separate resolution that would also come before you.
I don't see anything being answered. I don't know why you would go to a public hearing with all these questions. And Phil's not here. Phil felt as strongly as I did. So I'd prefer Phil to have a chance to speak as well. This isn't ready made. What we're saying is we could get a much different goal after we get the diligence that we're asking for, which would be a substantive change. The only time I'm okay sending something to a public hearing that maybe I think need some kinks worked out is if you work those kinks out and it's not a substantive change. This would be a substantive change, what I'm talking about in these goals that I'm putting forth.
You're correct. That would require another public hearing if we'd set this.
Deputy Ryder?
I mean, we submitted this. There's no time sensitive nature to this resolution. We have no problem postponing it for another month.
It doesn't change operations whatsoever. You guys are doing exactly what you're doing anyways.
Correct.
I think the only thing that would change is we would have to set a different date. I don't think we have enough time from that meeting to pass this. There has to be a certain amount of time between our
right. The last resolution that you postponed actually had it set for April. So it's just legislative staff would just move the public hearing to June instead of May.
This is not a big deal. If I'm the only one that I'm not offended if you push it through to the public hearing, I'm on the record with how I'm at it, but I totally respect if the managing and Eric are comfortable going forward, I'm okay. You know, that's your guys' decision.
So
obviously,
having now heard this conversation, it sounds to me like out of deference to legislator Erner, who's unavoidably absent, maybe we should postpone, and also because there's not urgency. It's not like we're going to lose a grant or anything. So are folks okay with us not taking action? We've kind of gone around the block, but I think we've landed where we need to be. And so we will not take action, and we will specifically invite the sponsors to come to our next meeting. And at that point, it'll still be in front of us with a June date. All right. Resolution number 154, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes with SG Pioneer PV for the solar energy system pursuant to property tax law, section 487, Department of Finance. And motion for discussion?
Motion.
Go ahead, Legislator Maloney, second. Legislator Hansett. And I just want to be sure that everyone, hold on one second. Just before I forget on transportation, I want to take a step back and mention something I heard just this morning that is really interesting. There's a proposal for the city of Kingston to use electric vehicles to bring people who are not already on UCAT transportation routes so that they can use public transportation and it's a zero emission vehicle. And it just sounded like it addressed environmental justice and a lot of other issues. Please, Deputy.
I think what you're speaking to is a NYSERDA to Clean Neighborhoods grant that the county and VIA have partnered with. We have a proposal in, and we were awarded a phase one grant, which includes planning. It's for electric micro transit in both the city of Kingston and the village of Ellenville. If we are awarded, then we will get a three-year, $10 million grant to establish programs in those two areas. Those are both distressed census tract areas, so that was a requirement for this grant and why we are looking at those two areas. They will be pilot programs. We will plan to sustain them beyond the 3 years if we're awarded the grant. We're currently in the process of doing community engagement. We will have a kind of a community engagement kickoff meeting on Monday, April 18th from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Restorative Justice Center. Anybody's welcome to attend that. We're going to be sending out surveys and really trying to drive our proposal off of community engagement. We've contracted with Sustainable Hudson Valley, they're working with Family of Woodstock and Ellenville NAACP. The proposal will be submitted in June, and towards the end of June/early July, our team will go up and present a Shark Tank style presentation of about 15 minutes to NYSERDA. They will also have other funders there in case we don't get funded. We were one of six proposals that have been moved forward for phase one, and there are three awards. So we feel like we have a pretty good chance, but it's 50-50 really. And this is throughout the state. So we're really excited about this program.
Excellent. Thank you. I was too. I hadn't heard an idea that solved a problem so cleanly. And I mean that in pun intended. Anyway, please let's get back to the resolution. I meant to say that before we moved away from transit issues. So we are here with the resolution regarding the payment in lieu of taxes. And I just want to be sure that people understand that it's what some of us are calling a reverse pilot, in the sense that they would be paying taxes that they're already exempted from. And is there any discussion on this resolution? If I'm not mistaken, this is located, I think it's Town of Ulster, kind of bordering Town of Kingston. And unfortunately, if it's the project that I'm thinking of, it involves taking out 20 acres of trees to, I see your hand, Legislator Maloney. Let me just finish my sentence, to put in 20 acres of solar. Legislator Maloney?
Yeah. Is this the one we postponed? No, that was on, it was, all right. I thought it was closer to like, I thought it was out near Rosendale. So this is another one that I think Phil is pretty motivated to come up with kind of what we collectively came up with, an idea that we could probably send off a checklist to the towns. It's kind of hard. I was happy to postpone to continue to keep this going. I don't know if we're gonna now pick this first one to kind of punish the town in a way financially to prove a point to go any further with this. But I do think it's something that could come out of this committee, and we could send off a kind of a checklist criteria type thing to the municipalities and let them know that if you're going to look for failure of a better word, a reverse pilot, and you need legislative approval, that if your solar project can't check these boxes or checks these negative boxes as far as clearing or too adjacent to a drinking water supply or something, that we may not approve you getting this reverse pilot. So I thought that was something we had all kind of collectively thought was a good idea to explore. I've talked to Phil about it. So my point here is I'm not looking to hold this up anymore. I think we at some point surprising this town without ever telling them that you might not, you know, they entered this agreement thinking that they were going to get more tax dollars than if we said no on this. So that's where I'm at. I'm okay going forward this, even if we're not happy with it, because I don't think we can just pull this out of nowhere and do that, because many towns have entered into these agreements and got a, and we've approved every one of these, for us to continue to not approve this one, I think we've gotten what we wanted to get out of it. We do need to communicate with these municipalities and let them know that if you're going to clear cut too much forest, or if there's drinking water issues, then we're not going to approve your reverse pilot. So don't enter into an agreement with a solar array that looks like this if you plan on getting any tax dollars out.
Yes, Deputy.
I just want to clarify one thing. The only thing that the legislature is being asked to approve on this one, and the one that's a couple of resolutions down, is the county being able to get tax revenue from this. If the legislature were to vote against this, the town would actually double the amount that they get, because they approved their own pilot. This
oh,
is
thank
not
you for
approving
that clarity.
This approves the county portion, and I don't think
I thought
that,
the state. I thought the state required our approval for the towns. I've been totally misreading that.
Yeah. So if we turn it down, they still can go through with the pilot. They actually get the whole amount. So the school
district.
Mark,
correct me though if I'm wrong. We could opt out of the automatic. We could opt out of the county getting these automatic. Right.
We could. The school district opts out, which it means. Yeah. So when the school district opts out, we get half and half instead of the school district getting a third or whatever their share is. And if we were to opt out, the tax payment's the same. It would just all go to the town. So that's why you see sometimes these are different. I know there's always been questions about these, because sometimes it's a different amount per kilowatt hour that it looks like for revenue on these agreements from agreement to agreement. It depends on whether the school districts opted out. Kingston oftentimes, for whatever reason, decides to opt out of these agreements. So then that means the town and the county take the full share. If the school district and the county opted out, the town would get the full share of the revenue. So Jim Quigley's sitting back waiting for us to turn this down because he gets more money.
So we can't opt the entire county out of – we would only be opting ourselves out if we even opted out. Cause I thought the state, I was wrong about that then too. The way it was, I thought it was always said was that we opt into being a county that these solar projects automatically get these abatements for any solar project, but we're only opting out. Each municipality is only opting out of their own share.
Right. I mean, sure. If it was automatic, we wouldn't need to do these agreements every time that there's one. Go ahead, Dennis.
I don't mean to belabor the point, Legislator Maloney, but it's an individual project by project. It's not an opt out. The projects send you a notification that indicates they're building, and you have 90 days to respond. If you don't respond in the 90 days, you're not allowed to tax them, and that's what happens on the school district level. There's a different program you're talking about with opting out, and that has to do with municipalities ability to tax without a pilot. That would still leave them the opportunity to go to the IDA for a pilot. The thought that we've had at the planning department and from the planning board is we have a standard. There's a standard set of guidelines with respect to the amount of taxes that you can ask for. It's based on a megawatt basis. One of the things that we thought was is that if you were looking at sensitive areas, particularly agricultural areas that you wanted to preserve, you actually punish the solar company by basically saying, we have a standard set, here's what it is. But if you're in an ag district, you're covering prime soils, you're doing something that, then it goes up and you get more tax dollars on that basis. And you set those dollars aside to do things that you wanted to do. With respect to this project, it's on the access point to the thruway. It's when you come off the thruway by the RV area. It's that actual access point right there is where this project sits. The county planning board reviewed this last night. We've had some comments with respect to this. Prior, they re-referred it to the county planning board. We've determined that it doesn't have a significant county impact and passed it back to the municipality for their determination. Doesn't have any sensitive sites associated with it. There's no historic issues. They're still doing some historic work on it. We're waiting for those work to come through. It's not in a habitat core area that the Department of Environment has looked at. So the only thing you really have here is clearing with respect to that. And that's not that bad in this particular location.
Well, I am glad to hear that that review is being done. That's what we're and now I'm putting on my Clearwater hat for a moment, but what we're teaching the municipalities, I think we have 45 people from 22 municipalities signed up for the spring solar mapping training, and it goes through the use of a program that Sina Kutchin prepared, a solar mapping tool, to show them how they can look at each of these layers. And when we looked at this, it is core forest right there. And that is, it's not a prohibition, but it's recommended against. On the other hand, it is, as Dennis said, in a, near the traffic circle and in a very disturbed area. So it's not prime forest. And it's good to hear that the county is looking at this. And I just wonder if there's a way to strengthen it, because this, to me, this is an exception, but core forests are important to protect because of their ability to draw down and sequester greenhouse gases. So I think this might be a further discussion offline and see if we can come up with a policy for Ulster County. But for the moment, I think my sense is that people are ready to act on this, given what we just came to understand. So I would like to call the question unless there's other discussion. All right, so on resolution 154, authorizing the county to execute a pilot with a reference to this particular solar energy system for real estate tax section 487. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and saying aye, or saying aye. And is anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries for resolution 154. Now we're going to go to resolution 165, establishing and funding capital project number 629, ARPA Brownfields Redevelopment. And that's from the planning department, and we did hear some public comment. Motion for discussion.
Madam Chair, I just want to draw your attention that we're discussing the amended one that I sent this afternoon.
Yes.
Submitted in Public Works.
Yes. Motion for discussion on the amended version. On the version of resolution number 165 as amended. Is that a new hand, legislator, Deputy Ryder?
Yeah, I just want to specify that the public comment was on the next resolution that you heard tonight, not on this resolution. This is the Brownfields program.
Oh, yes. Thank you. All right. Anything on the Brownfields?
We've had multiple presentations on this, correct?
Yeah.
I've seen presentations, I think, in two different committees, right?
Yes.
No.
All right. So on resolution 165 as amended.
Well, not as amended here, but as presented here.
As presented. Okay. Thank you.
But you need to move it and second it. I don't believe it's been moved for discussion.
That's right, because we just had discussion. So do we have a
motion? Yep.
Okay, that's Legislator Maloney, second. Legislator Stewart, okay. Oh, sorry. You'll get the next one, Legislator Hanson.
That's okay.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or raising your hand, or both. Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries on resolution number 165. Resolution number 167, adopting a negative declaration for the demolition of the former Ulster County Jail located on Golden Hill and establishing and funding capital project number 630, demolition of jail Golden Hill, ARPA, and also the planning department.
This also was amended in public works, so you're voting on the amended version I sent today. So you're voting on the one as presented.
As presented. Any discussion? Yes, please, Legislator Maloney.
I'm just back this term. I had heard some about this. I definitely had concerns. The process, I'd rather see it kept inside the county as we decide what we're going to do with it. I do not like the idea of transferring like we'd love to transfer out. I have a lot of issues. I have issues with conflicts. I don't think there's been traffic questions answered. Do we know how much the county is selling this for yet? Do we have a price? The demolition costs. I know there's been mentioning of a pilot. Is that an IDA pilot? What type of housing? I think the neighbors deserve more answers with exactly what's going to go on up there. Are there water issues that have been really truly answered? I mean, what was up there before you're going to have way more units, as I hear them called all the time now, which is odd. Will there be more blasting? Why did we have four major topics at one public hearing? Can somebody answer me yes or no? Is Family of Woodstock involved as I'm reading in this? Then can you tell me how the president of Family of Woodstock is on this housing corporation and that's not a conflict? I mean, that makes me actually angry. That's such a conflict. We have Dennis Doyle on that same, who's great at planning. And this project goes through planning in the county, doesn't it? Didn't the county planning board have some say over this? Then how can you have two votes, one on this level and one on that level? This is completely unacceptable. I mean, it's borderline. I don't know if you can use the expression off the rails anymore, because I don't think there's enough rails left in Ulster County to use that expression. But it's off the rails with zero transparency. And the people that live around there seem to have a lot of valid questions that I don't think were answered. And it's just to reiterate that again, four major topics at one public hearing. This is disgusting. And it's just and the conflicts. I don't even want to hear from Dennis Doyle tonight because he's conflicted. And the idea that Family of Woodstock is going to benefit and be a part of this, and we appoint the president of Family of Woodstock onto this oversight committee, is insanity. It's shameful. I'll be a no on anything to do with this until the conflicts are fixed and until many of these questions are thoroughly answered. At the very least, I think we should postpone. And for another major reason, that this is Mr. Erner's district and he's not here. And he's just becoming aware of a lot of these issues as he's new to this term.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mark, can you start with explaining how you appointed the president of Family of Woodstock, who is now going to benefit from? Can you please explain that first and foremost?
I'm happy to.
As a lawyer, can you tell me that that's not a conflict?
I'm happy to have that conversation. So the Housing Development Corporation was created through a resolution of this body. there was appointments made by both the legislature and the executive. When the LDC was created, there was no Family of Woodstock was not involved in any of the processes that led up. So they were not a part of the project originally. When the RFQ went out there, the proposer, Penrose, initially, I do not believe, and I wasn't on the board at the time. I know you don't want to hear from Dennis, but Dennis is here to speak on it. By the way, doesn't have a vote on the planning board.
Will he
board.
Be speaking is as our the head director, of planning? Which hat will he be wearing when he's talking
to us?
He's
our director of planning. He does not have a vote on the planning board. When Penrose was selected, I don't believe that Family of Woodstock was involved in the project, and they have been later added on as an operational sort of supportive housing. So there was no action of the LDC that favored Family of Woodstock, and so there was no conflict by the president of Family of Woodstock because there was no vote towards them at the time. Dennis, you can correct me if I'm wrong there, but I don't believe that Family of Woodstock was in the initial proposal of Penrose. Can you speak to that really quick?
This is ridiculous.
I have to go back and look, but the point being is that there was discussion within their LDC as it became aware that Family of Woodstock was involved with respect to Mr. Clement's participation, and that was discussed with respect to that. And I believe there was a determination that was made that there was not a conflict.
That's convenient. I think anybody with a brain in their head can see that that's a conflict.
The president of Family of Woodstock isn't paid. He gets no financial benefit.
Mark, you know perception of it. You're a lawyer. You know that it, regardless of a financial impact at times, you can still have a conflict. You know that to be true.
Anyway, happy to answer your other questions. So
you're going to treat me just how you treat the people that live the people that live over there.
I think this has been a transparent and open project.
Well, you're in the minority on that.
I think the public comment through the Kingston Planning Board that just held their meeting and had six individuals that came out and spoke goes to show that, I mean, any project is going to have six people that speak on it. That's certainly not, for a project this size, a large amount of public, you know, input. We had two people speak on it tonight. It's a good project. The chairwoman of the legislature got up in her chairperson speech and talked for length about affordable housing and a need for affordable housing in this county. This has housing units that are supportive of people who are anywhere from 30% AMI, which is extremely low income, all the way up to 80%. But the vast majority of them are low to moderate income, and the 80 and higher is workforce. It's a very good project. I'm very proud of it. And I think it's a great reuse of a former jail facility.
Anyone else? All right, I'm gonna.
There was a petition with 50 signatures, by the way, Mark.
Legislator Stewart, please.
I was just going to say, I think that there is such a desperate need for affordable housing in this community that, you know, in general, I'm highly supportive of anything we could do along those lines. I do agree that since this is in Legislator Erner's district and that he had requested, you know, that we hold off, voting on this, I think it would be a good idea to, let us hear from him and perhaps, you know, put off voting on this until we meet again.
Legislator Hanson, did you have your hand up a moment ago?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But again, like I say, I think that anything that we can do here in Ulster County to help alleviate the housing situation is something that we should be doing. So
I'll make a motion to postpone.
There's no, you don't have to take any action if no one's moved it for a vote. So you could just take no action tonight, but you could postpone it.
Well, I think it would be good to hear from Legislator Erner and hear his concerns.
Okay. I'm just saying technically you could take no action at this point.
So we'd just take no action.
Yeah.
That's good with me. So.
All right.
Now is there any downside of not, I mean, so there's no time crunch here or is there, Mark?
I'm not gonna rail against whether you all want to propose. I understand that Legislator Erner can't be here and you all want to hear him. So if it's the will of the committee to take no action, we'll live with that. I will say that the only reason we're coming to you now is because we're trying to get the building demolished this construction cycle, and delaying a month will make that more difficult but not impossible. So I'm not overly concerned about it. We believe that the city planning board is going to act this month, and this will put us in line. So if it has to wait until May, then we're okay.
And we still
it's not ideal, but we'll get through it.
I believe it's been on the county demo list for multiple years, but the city of Kingston is still, you're still waiting action on their behalf as well, correct?
Correct. They closed the public hearing is open for written comment through April 11th. They have a meeting scheduled April 18th. From what they send us as the proposer and a partner, they send us public comment, and my guess would be that they act on April 18th, but I have no knowledge of that. So anyway, even if they do, if we come to you in May, it's a month. It's not the end of the world.
And in that meantime, be able to perhaps get some answers on these concerns about traffic and asbestos abatement and that sort of thing?
There's been extensive traffic studies done. The city of Kingston Planning Department hired their own consultant to review the traffic studies. We've answered the questions on traffic. We're trying to work with the neighbors, and we're trying to work with the nursing facility to potentially close the gate at Glen Street. When we talk about construction vehicles and making a left-hand turn onto Route 32, that's where our UCAT facility is. We have large UCAT buses that make a left turn onto that road every single day, multiple times a day. I think a few construction vehicles are not a concern of mine. I'm waiting. I'm not going to wait for MANA to send the reuse materials, but we'll ensure that in the bidding documents for the demolition of this jail that they go to every single effort to reuse the materials prior to just sending them to some facility. So we'll ensure that those best practices are done. It's in the county's best interest for them to both recycle as much of this material as can, because we're going to get a better bid, but to require them to reuse the materials as well just makes sense.
I think it probably is better for the neighborhood too than just outright demolition. My sense is...
Manage, I believe Gina has her hand up.
I'm sorry.
Please. That's okay. I don't know, Ms. DeFalco had mentioned about endangered species. Do you know anything about that?
Dennis did the environmental work on here.
Yeah, this is an all disturbed area, so there's no endangered species on the site. This is literally taking the area that the current jail parking lot and other facilities up there. And there's been a look at endangered species as well as the State Historic Preservation Office. All of that material has been provided to the City Planning Department.
Okay, thank you.
And I do want to say, I see your hand. I do want to say that from the solar mapping that we've done, that often the state will map an area that may be of concern for endangered species, but it needs to be sort of field verified. They don't want to be too specific because they don't want to sort of advertise and invite people who are malintended. It really is more of a check this carefully than a prohibition. Let's see. Did I see Legislator Stewart, please?
I just had a quick question for either Mark or Mr. Doyle about one of the callers brought up asbestos abatement, and I was just wondering if you could provide any insight into that.
If I may, the short answer is that there's been a complete look at the environmental issues inside the existing jail, and by Department of Labor regulations, there'll have to be asbestos abatement and other abatements associated with that before demolition takes place. So we will provide that information as part of the bid package, and I believe I included it in some of the materials that I sent the legislature.
Thank you.
If you look at the backup in your on the OneDrive, you'll have a lot of information.
My apologies. I must have missed that about the asbestos. So thank you.
If I could just make a request that each time Dennis speaks on this topic, could he tell us who he's speaking, what title he's speaking as for the record?
Sure. I'm speaking as the director of the planning department.
Okay. What is the will of the body in terms of resolution 167?
So take no action, is that what we're planning?
Thank you. Resolution 188, our last resolution of the evening, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute payment in lieu of taxes with West Shore Solar for solar energy system to real estate property tax law. It sounds to me like, even though it's a different project, the same principle applies. So do I hear a motion on resolution number 188? I see your hand, but I want to get a motion in a second. I see Legislator Hansett. Is moving the resolution?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
What?
Legislator Stewart.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. My apologies about that. I'm trying to get my video back on. Okay, sorry. And did I miss a vote? My apologies.
We were looking for a second on resolution number 188.
Second. I'll second that, sure.
Okay. And is there, just before we take a vote, is there any background information from the Department of Environment or Planning in terms of this location or any of the factors that would influence? I mean, we still, as I said, the same principle applies, but I just want to double check. And Deputy Ryder, go ahead.
I just want to point out that I put a very, very short primer in the chat that, that talks about Property Law 174. There is an opportunity to opt out of giving the exemption. You can, which would mean that you would try to tax it at full. There is no way to opt out of doing the pilot this way. You could opt out of the full exemption, but it's not believed that you would get more money doing it that way. And it does talk a little bit more. It's like a, it's a policy paper on local governments and the tax law. So there is a link to it there. I don't know where this project is. I don't know, Dennis, if you know.
All right, well.
And I believe technically our chat is shut off, so I don't know that they can see what you wrote in chat.
Is there any
normally other- when it's shut off, it doesn't let me chat. It let it, it let me chat on this.
But I don't, oh, do I see it? Oh yeah, I do see it. You're correct.
Is there any other discussion on resolution 188? If not, I'd like to call the question. All in favor, please raise your hand or signify by saying aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And now we're up to new business. And I know that Legislator Erner had new business, but we'll clearly postpone that. And old business Climate Smart. Trying to think anything. You know, each month we share really valuable information. And I believe coming up in May, we're going to be meeting at the Department of Environment is willing to host our Climate Smart meetings. And that way we can do a hybrid of having the actual members that are appointed to the Climate Smart Committee, the voting members present, and anyone else who wants to join us. But we also have a good sized contingent of people from around the county that are part of their town or city Climate Smart Task Force that participate, share information. And we also usually or often have a presentation. And the reason for that is that in addition to the Climate Smart Committee that was created by resolution, there is also a municipal Climate Smart Task Force for the county. And that is hosted by the Department of Environment. And it's part of, you know, how we get our Climate Smart certification, et cetera. sorry about this. So that's the major news. I think we've gone over most of the other topics. Yes, Legislator Hansett, please.
I'm just curious, someone that's new to this committee, and under the description of our committee is, I'm just wondering where the Fish and Wildlife Management Board and the Forest Practice Board, how does that play under our committee? And just if somebody could fill me in a little bit about that, because I haven't heard anything about that to date.
There have been times in the past where, and at one point also Soil and Water reported and the Fishing and Hunting Sportsmen's Association. typically, when we hear from the committees that are supposed to report to us is around budget time. But one of the things we could easily do is each month invite, so that they don't have to come every month, but they can fill us in long before budget. So we could go through that list and each month have somebody else do a report. Is that, would that be favored, that action by the rest of the committee? Yes, no, maybe. I know it's getting late.
I'm not sure we have a legislator currently on the Fish and Wildlife Management Board. Those are, I'll have to double check that. There should be a legislator and an alternate on that. Okay. In the olden days, I used to serve on that when I was a legislator. Yeah. I also was the representative on the Forest Practice Board for the county when I was a legislator, but I believe that's still like a holdover. I was looking into that earlier this year, and I am not sure there still is a Forest Practice Board in Region 3.
Well, for the ones that are officially listed, could we...
we can try to
invite
the schedule. I can send you...
And they don't have to come to every meeting, but if they would, you know, somebody come in May and somebody come in June, you know, then when budget time comes around, we have a context.
Yeah, I was just curious, like, where it falls into our committee. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that's very valid and appreciate your calling it to our attention. Okay. If we have no further business, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. moved by Legislator Hansen, seconded by Legislator Stewart. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and or say
aye.
And thank you all for your participation. And we look forward to carrying forward next month. And also thank you, Fawn, for your very valuable assistance. Have a good evening, everyone, and stay well and look for the joy.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thank you, folks.